I'm going to introduce you to Juan Baquer, who is president of DuPont Argentina, and he will be giving some information to you. You will not need translation because his English is perfect. So, Juan, welcome.
I don't know if this is it's working. Perfect. I already started with a
good
problem here. Technical problem. Okay. Thank you for that. English is perfect. Huh? A lot of pressure.
No.
Well, thank you for inviting me here. It's a pleasure being here. I'm very glad that you're having a good time in my country, and I'm very glad also that the company through our Pioneer Seed Business have been able to help sponsoring this event. This reminds me school, no? When people sat down in the last row. No, I always start asking questions from the last row to the front.
That's a good technique.
Yeah. Well, I've been asked to speak in 20 minutes. And 5 minutes ago, I was told, no, it's going to be 15 minutes, to answer one question. No, why does DuPont do business in Argentina? Why does DuPont do business in the ag market in Argentina? First of all, I'm a lawyer. No, asking a lawyer to answer one question in 20 minutes is it's almost impossible. No, but, well, I'll do my best. And first, when they told me this, I said, well, why should I answer this question? It's pretty obvious. Well, does it make sense to ask this question? And then when thinking again, I said, well, it might not be that obvious because of several reasons. No? First, if we look at Argentina, well, it's a relevant market, but it's not huge. It's only 40 million people. No? There are markets much bigger than this one. Look at our giant neighbor, Brazil. Any one of the BRIC countries, any developed economy in Europe, in North America. So from a size of the market standpoint, it's not very big. Second, it's very very far away from everything. You know, many of you have flew in, no? And so you have felt how far away we are. And thirdly, if we look at the last, you name it, window of time, history, 50 years, 30 years, 100 years, Argentina was not a country which you will qualify as non-volatile. No, we have been pretty volatile. No? So, not huge, far away, volatile, and you know that business people don't like volatility. Yeah? That everyone knows that. So I said, well, it does make sense. It does make sense trying to answer this question. But before answering this question, or in order to answer this question, I need to tell you a little bit about DuPont. No? And DuPont, you know, DuPont is a very big company. It's a very big company. And most of you probably know one part of DuPont. No? Our crop protection business, our seed business. But we have many other businesses. No? And it's very difficult to explain what we are. So we define ourselves as a science company. And that's probably the common thread that links all our businesses. In all our businesses, you'll find science. And this is what you see there. Our purpose is what we do. What we do. In DuPont, what we try to do is in collaboration with other people, with our customers, with suppliers, with governments, with communities. What we try to do is to solve some of the biggest challenges in the world. Very nice purpose. Very nice purpose. I already hear you're a journalist, so you're very skeptical, and you're probably now thinking, well, DuPont, your purpose is to make money. Well, we are certainly a for-profit organization. We are not a charitable organization. And we certainly need to give a good return to the people that trust in us, buy our shares, and become our shareholders. But the way we know to make money is by doing this. Because if you are able to solve problems, and especially if they are important problems, the one who solves problems creates value. And by capturing part of that value, we make money for our investors. So this is the virtuous circle that we try to complete every day. Okay? How we do it? How we do it? Well, we do it with our core values. Why? Because, you know, DuPont is a very old company. It's 211 years old. You know? And the only way to exist 211 years and do it successfully is if you reinvent yourself every day. You know? If you anticipate what is coming and you adapt and you change. So change is every day, and change is every day faster. You know? And if you change a lot, you need some stable rules, stable principles to guide you. If not, you fall into chaos immediately. No? And these are the stable principles that we have, no? These core values that allow us to make decisions everywhere, in every level of the organization, every day. No? And basically, if you want to summarize, this is ethics. No? It's a highly ethical company. And by ethics, I normally understand doing the right thing and trying not to do the wrong things. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect, certainly. No? But we are committed to zero, and when we make mistakes, we try to correct them and not make them again. Okay. But I said, you saw in our purpose, no? We want to solve big challenges. And there are many big challenges in the world, and we cannot solve every challenge. No? So we have decided to focus on three specific challenges of humanity. And these challenges are mainly resulting from demographic forces. The population, and you know this better than I do, the population is growing. We are already more than 7 billion people in the world. We are going to become more than 9 billion people by 2050. And that creates a lot of tensions, a lot of needs. And there are three that where the company believes that it can add a lot of value. The food challenge, the energy challenge, and protection. Energy, basically trying to lessen the dependence on fossil fuels. And the third one, protection of people, protection of assets, against what? Against different type of threats. Threats from violence coming from the environment, from climate change, and even from physical violence coming from what we see in big cities, for instance, in some places in Latin America. You know? But we're going to focus a little bit on the first of those challenges, food, because I believe it's more related to the theme of your Congress. No? And food, feeding the world is probably one of the biggest challenges of this century. And we all know that. You know, there is one piece of information that we all know, but it still strikes me, you know, when I think of it. Every single day for the next 40 years, we will have 150,000 people more on this planet. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. We like a lot soccer in this region, and this is two big soccer stadiums filled every day for the next 40 years. And these people want to eat. And these people want to eat high-quality food, good proteins. So this is one of the big challenges. And as I said, we try to focus on the challenges where we believe that with our science, with our knowledge, we can make a big contribution. And we do believe that science is at the heart of the solution for this challenge. You know? And science is... It says there, no, science is universal, but you have to apply it locally. No, and we have learned in our history that it's not enough to have some geniuses sitting in a lab in the U.S. and coming up with a good, smart invention. Eh? You need to have people close to the market, understanding the needs of that market, and using that science to produce products or solutions for those specific needs. And in food, we are, as a company, contributing in all the value chains. You know? And as you can see over there from the field with our seeds, with our crop protection products, up to the consumer. You know, if you go to a store and buy products, most of the products will have food products, you will have ingredients from our company, or you will have the packaging that allows the food industry to preserve those products better, to reduce the waste, etc. Let me show you. I brought a small example of one product that is using this value chain. This is not a high-tech frisbee, though it looks like one. And this is a piece of equipment for a machine for planting corn seeds. No, there's probably a word to say it in one word, but I don't know which word. This is a machine, a piece of a machine for planting corn seeds. Well, this works like, depending on the size of the seed, you can select the hole. And why am I showing this? Now, this is because of two reasons. This has been developed here in Rosario. One of our customers in Rosario developed this piece of equipment, and this piece of equipment is made with a polymer, with plastic. No? So this replaces metal parts, and by replacing metal parts, you reduce the weight of the equipment. By reducing the weight of the equipment, you reduce the energy consumption. That's one of the reasons. The second reason is it's made with corn. This is for planting corn, but the plastic here is made with corn. 40% of this is corn. Nice, no? But we do a lot of things like this, all along the value chain. No? One other effort that we have done in order to help finding solutions for this food challenge is in association with the Economist Intelligence Unit of the Economist. We have developed the tool that you are seeing there. And I encourage all of you to go online and visit this. Now, this is the Global Food Security Index. It's a study, it's a dynamic study based on certain parameters that ranks the food security of 170 countries in the world. This is very valuable information. It's information that is offered to the public. Anyone can get in, and it's very good for governments, for companies, for NGOs, for everyone to understand better how each country in the world is placed on the food security area and to make decisions and find solutions. You know, this is a way to collaborate. You know. So as I said, the company decided to work to put emphasis on trying to find solutions for the food challenge. And we are already doing that. And we do believe that science is the biggest part of the solution for that. And we have to do it locally. So then, coming back to the question, why then Argentina? Why then Argentina? And let me give you just three items about Argentina that I think are worth remembering. The first one, Argentina is the only country in the world that has the capability, the potential to produce food for a population 10 times bigger than its whole population. Argentina has 40 million people, and we produce food for 400 million. Second, logistics. One soybean, the average soybean produced in Argentina travels 300 kilometers from the field where it was produced to the place where it is going to be transformed in oil, biofuel, soy meal, and the port. Because you probably most of you visited yesterday, or today, are in the same place. So 300 kilometers. The average soybean in the US, in Brazil, in any other soy-producing area travels more than 1,000 kilometers from the field to the port. That logistics advantage is less cost, more efficiency, less waste. And the third element in Argentina, no, the quality of our growers. The speed with which they adapt new technologies. Why that?
is it because genetically they are different, their DNA? No. It's pure Darwinism. The survival of the fittest. No. During many years, growers in other places of the world were receiving subsidies from governments, were being helped. During those same years, growers here had to pay high export taxes. They still have to pay high export taxes. Talk to them and they will tell you. So that means that if you're not very efficient, you die. You cannot survive. So the growers that we have now in the market are very, very, very good. So good potential, logistic is good, and you have the right human capital there to produce the food that the company is looking. So the market seems to be interesting. And what about the point? Are we able to do business in this market? Because I said, no, it's culturally has its challenges, volatility. Well, we have been doing business in Argentina for more than 75 years now. We started having plants produced in Argentina in 1937. So we know this market. All our leadership in Argentina are Argentinians. I myself, I was born in Buenos Aires. I always lived in Buenos Aires. So we know how to work in this environment. We feel comfortable here. There are few local companies that are older in Argentina than DuPont. So for every practical matter, we are perceived as a local company. We have several plants. We have many people. We have all the businesses actively doing business in the country. And then how that do we translate that presence in this economy? Well, for instance, look at we said that science is universal, but we have to apply it locally. Well, locally, our crop protection business is every year introducing new molecules, new products. You can see some examples over there, insecticides, very specific for the challenges that our growers have here. Look at our other big agricultural business in the region, Pioneer Seeds. No? We have, by applying all the technology, all the knowledge, all the science of this great business, Pioneer, we are able to give every grower the products that they need. No? We always say the right product for the right acre. And we do it by doing science, producing science here in Argentina, not far away from here. We have our research facility, our Pioneer Seeds research facility, where we apply all the technology that we have in our main research centers. No? Double haploids, marker-assisted selection, all those scientific tools which I don't understand, I tell you, so please don't ask me about them. They're too sophisticated for me. So it's top-notch science being produced here. So, trying to finish before they bring the last, coming back to the question, why doing business, why is DuPont doing business in Argentina? Well, in a nutshell, because we do want to provide solutions for the big challenge of feeding the world. We do think that the region, and specifically Argentina within the region, is one of the markets that, joining our science with the capabilities of the market, can bring a lot of these solutions to the world. And as it said there, not together, we believe that we can feed the world from Argentina. A little bit heavy on cholesterol, that picture. No? But you probably experienced that. So with that, I hope I've answered the question in the 15 allotted minutes. I wish you a very good continuation of the Congress, and I thank you again for the invitation.